Once again, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could all be here with us this morning on our final scheduled worship service here in the month of January. And boy, if we can get February to go as quickly as January did, wow. But the end of January does mean, especially this year, some things are coming at us very, very quickly. And the first thing, obviously, is we had some informational meetings 2 weeks ago. The next phase of that is a meeting that will follow our worship here today, here after late church. Now, we've got an ice cream sundae bar. I have not ascertained whether that's before or after the meeting. Before, thank you. Okay, so we've got ice cream just over there. We'll get to everybody. We've got toppings and stuff like that. So hopefully you can join us for that after we get done here this morning. Also, we've got a couple things with the Ladies Guild. Their fashion show is this coming Saturday, and then Pastor Frieda Steinke presenting a something on the places that they visited. In the land of Luther, some of the Luther sites that are over in Germany. So all of that, of course, is that's better. Let me. All of that here is coming just in the next couple of weeks. That's a week from Wednesday when the Ladies Guild is. We got some exciting programs coming up here for the next couple months with the Ladies Guild. Also, our teens are back there, and they're in the second fellowship area back there. And they are selling tickets to the Sweetheart Dance. We had our first one last year. And we didn't have a lot of people show up, but boy, did they have fun. And so it's just for the great dancers and the not-so-great dancers. That is the Sunday after Valentine's Day. So you might want to, they're selling tickets for it back there. Please check out all that's going on there. I've been asked to announce that the Chasco Street Parade is March the 10th. It's over a month yet, but we are starting to collect beads. We're going to put something that identifies our church on all the beads, but if you've got a bag of them, a box of them, wherever it is that they come from, we would love to have those because apparently the Chasco Parade people love beads. Apparently this whole region area does for parades, so we'll do the best we can there with that. And that just a couple things. Our Bible studies have continued between the services. The Bible study on Daniel is going to also be starting on Saturday nights for those that worship on Saturday night. Not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday. And it won't be this coming Saturday because a group of us are leaving Saturday morning on the 2018 Faith Lutheran Church cruise. The brochure, we were hoping to have the brochure. It's not quite ready. The individual that would help us finalize the last details, he also, along with so many other people, had the flu the last couple days of this week. I got to wait till this week to get all that done. But we will get the cruise brochure for 2019 out. We're going to have to move quickly on that, even though it's a long ways off, because it's spring break. Those spring break cruises get very, very crowded very, very quickly. So please do help us with that. Pastor Roger Keller, he was at early service this morning, but we've seen him before. He will be filling in for worship both Saturday and Sunday. I will be back in time and maybe just in time for Saturday worship the following week. Last announcement has to do with Lent, folks, because right after I get back the weekend. It's essentially the last weekend before Lent begins. And we will be starting a series of Wednesday night worship services. The first one is here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock on Ash Wednesday, February the 14th this year. So hard to believe we have to already talk about Lent, but that's the way it is. So please let us know that you were here this morning. Fill out those Faith Factor cards that are in the racks in front of you. Okay, our order of worship this morning is Matins. It does not begin with a hymn, and we've moved the greeting of the peace just a little further into the service. You know, regarding the greeting of the peace, folks, I think, you know, we all know that there's so much cold and flu stuff coming by. And look, if the form of the greeting of the peace ends up taking a tap on the shoulder, I think some people would be just fine with that. It's completely up to you, but we're just letting people know. I had been asked, well, maybe we don't do it. I'm like, no, this church doesn't not do it, but, you know, we just, if we're worried about those kinds of things, just a little bit of a tap on the shoulder will do just as good to remind each other the peace of the Lord. That's a little bit into our service. So let's begin with a moment of silence, and then we will begin with the invocation and opening responses. As you are able, please stand as we begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. Beloved in the Lord, we know of God's abiding goodness and mercy. With confidence, let us come before our Lord to confess our sins and to find the forgiveness we seek, beginning with a moment of silence. God, whose word establishes reality, we admit that we have turned from the face-to-face relationship of love with you for which we have been created. Sin infects us through and through, yet we trust in Jesus alone, whose life, death, and resurrection bring your healing power to bear on our grave condition. Hear us and heal us by your love for Jesus' sake. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May you live confidently in this life as you await the joy of life everlasting. Be at peace. The Holy Gospel from the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, where Jesus invites his followers to become fishers of men. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the Gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers, make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. We do for a portion of Dr. Martin Luther's Small Catechism, the third and fourth parts of Holy Baptism. How can water do such great things? Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water is plain water and no baptism. But with the word of God, it is a baptism, that is, a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. What does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Where is this written? St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." The text for this message, Listen, God is Calling, from right after we're the beginning of the gospel lesson, where it says, Jesus came proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. Dear friends, even if you weren't the biggest sports fan in the world, on Saturday afternoons for many, many years was a program that was on ABC that just covered spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety in sports. And then the next thing they would say is, the thrill of victory, and, boy, everybody knows that. And unfortunately, there may have been, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, all kinds of different images showing the thrill of victory. But there was only one that ever showed the agony of defeat. The same guy going off of that ski lift time and time and time again. And actually, there were two reasons for that. Number one is that he gave his consent for that. He was not hurt, and certainly not seriously from that fall, just his pride more than anything. But they just felt like it was one of the most powerful images to try to show just what can happen when you are working towards victory, but instead you find yourself facing not only the defeat, but the agony of defeat. And by the way, that show was pretty popular for years. If you wanted to find out about some of the major sporting events, back in the 1960s, you wanted to find out about what happened in the Indianapolis 500, you could either read it in the paper, you could watch Wide World of Sports. There was no other way of getting television coverage for it. But whenever you had somebody that saw the thrill of victory, it was only one. Unless, of course, it was a team sport. And then there would be a lot of teams that would at some point feel the agony of defeat. Well, friends, are we that team? Are we the ones that now are feeling not just defeat, but the agony of defeat? Let me explain. As Jesus was calling his disciples, Mark, as is often the case, doesn't devote much time to it. Mark's gospel is significantly shorter than the other three. But as you read in some of the other gospels, you can see that it was just more than a simple calling in Jesus saying, I will make you become fishers of men. St. Peter, who at that time was still known as Simon, was very aware of what God was in his presence and what he was in God's presence. And you can almost see him holding up his hands. Leave me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He felt the agony of what the defeat of sin had done in his life. And it was crushing him. And it was making him feel hopelessness, despair, sorrow. Almost like there is no hope. But Peter certainly doesn't have that thing to himself. So many of God's people, if they really are going to go and look in our lives, we are going to see so much that is agonizing and so much that we bring on by our own. We look at a God that provides us his love, his forgiveness, his generosity, his gifts, his Holy Spirit, his salvation. And what do? We turn each one of those victories won for us, and we ignore them, or we set them aside, or we try to undo them with our own sins. And not just generic sins out there, but those ones that find their weak spot in you. Those ones that somehow we go home some nights and we wonder why it's always that same one that continues to plague us. And it does so on an individual level. It gets in and it starts affecting families. It starts affecting the family of faith here at Faith. It can affect everybody because that's what sin tries to do. And sometimes we are actively trying to walk away from the direction God is pointing us towards, wherever that is, besides to follow our Savior to the cross. We see that in today's Old Testament lesson. I don't want to devote a lot of time to the whole story of Jonah. For one thing, in our Bible study here in the sanctuary between the services, right now we're going through Daniel. When we're done with Daniel, our next book of the Bible is Jonah. And so we'll take that time then. But Jonah, as you recall, was an individual that, for whatever reason, as God made his proclamation what he needed Jonah to do, Jonah was like, I will do anything but. I will go to whatever length I have to make sure that I don't do that. Obstinance hardly gets stronger than that. And you see this morning where it picks up after all the stuff that makes Jonah famous. And the Lord says, let's try again. And he sends Jonah to this great city. 3 days' walk in breath. Now those people back in that day had themselves a pretty good gallop because they walked all the time. And where they could get in a day was actually pretty impressive. So you can only imagine how big this city was, even by today's standards, 3 days' breadth to walk around it. An impressive city for back at that time, if there ever was one. And Jonah is commanded to walk an entire day into the city. That's quite a feat itself. And to just say over and over again, the Lord has had enough. He's ready to destroy you. In just a few days, he's going to make it so. And you need to repent. Well, we know, or should know, that the Word of God comes to us with great power. That, my friends, was the Word of God coming to a people. And remember, these are a very foreign people. They were up past the region of Galilee, and yet here are these people decrying for a day of mourning, getting into sackcloth, and genuinely wanting to repent and call a day of fast. Focus every bit of their energy on begging the Lord not to do what he had said to do. And he didn't. And in the midst of all of that, he was able to show that it is never too late, as long as we are on this world, to let God's will be done in our lives. Now, of course, that had to be done a couple times. God's will had to be shown first to the people of Nineveh, then to Jonah himself, who still was like, well, I told you that was going to happen. Well, yeah. That's what is supposed to happen. But we still sometimes probably feel like, since the agony of defeat is our world, why would God want anything to do with you? And God does have something to do with you. And part of the reason is because of where God is. No matter where we are in life at this moment, where we have been, where we think we're going to be, we are going to see God always ahead of us, leading us where he would have us go. And just in case we want to turn back and go some other direction, well, you turn around and you look back, there's God too. So God has a plan for all of us, for us as individuals. And what he does is he calls us. He calls us to be his own. And the joyful thing is realistically, he's calling us twice. The first time, obviously, in the waters of holy baptism, we had that little thing that Martin Luther wrote about baptism, the power and the significance of it, just a few moments ago, but that's only where it begins. God is calling you, and I'm not talking about something mystic where maybe God is using somehow the clouds are connecting words or something else like that. God speaks to us these days through his Son. God speaks to us these days through his Word, but through that Word, he's calling us for something that we cannot always see or understand. Now, for the boys and girls that are out there, I know that you must be asked a question, and maybe more times than you'd like. What do you want to be when you grow up? And I kind of would sometimes like to take just this huge poll where people record, okay, what did you say you wanted to be when you grew up? And what did you end up being? And how many people ended up being what they said they were going to be? Because most of the time, God has other plans for us. Not just in what we grow up to be, but in how God is going to use us in ways we never could have seen or understood before. God is getting us ready. And if we've lived in this world long enough, we know that while we can't always see what God is getting us ready for, he's getting us ready for something. And as he gets us ready for something, what exactly is he making sure is going to happen inside of each of us? As he calls us in three things. Number one, as committed. Now, God provides the faithfulness. Even as we need to be faithful unto death to receive the crown of life, only through the power of the Holy Spirit can that happen. But God is making sure that we are being committed, not in the way that the world thinks, but in a way in which we all of a sudden are able to see some things that nobody else can see, can push aside the things that would simply get in the way of it, and move closer and closer to what God would have us do. It is shocking, some of the things that people have ended up doing that they were convinced they'd be the last person. I'm sure Peter was on that list, and maybe all of those fishermen were, and maybe you are too. But because God is committed to you through his calling, he's making sure that we are committed to him. The second is equipped. And God equips us. Now, there are these workshops that we've had some here in the congregation. We've had a couple that are through the district. But no workshop in the world, no matter who leads it, can properly prepare us for some of the things that God is preparing us for now. He's giving us literally spiritual toolboxes full of the things that we're going to need, because our lives can change in a moment. And when those changes take place, as we understand, it rarely is truly for the better. But it is always God equipping us to be his own. And finally, being both committed and equipped, we are loved. And there's no greater reminder of love than the cross that stands before us each and every week. That is the ultimate expression of love shown by anybody ever. Jesus loving you so much, he gave his life on a cross for you, caring about you so much, calling you to whatever he would have you be. That, my friends, is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loves us. And so then, my friends, regardless of if we have felt the agony of defeat in life and we just want to hold up our hands and say, leave me, Lord, well, remember this. The gentleman that fell off the little ski thing, when that happened, back at that time, you were actually given two jumps. That's because of wind and things like that. And so what he did is, that was his first jump. He went up for the second jump, and, well, he didn't finish in the top three, which would have given him a medal, but he came close. And he showed that indeed the agony of defeat can be turned into something that where it becomes inspirational. Well, friends, as individuals, as people that are in different stages of life where we see so many negative things, as people that might be in the middle of so many negative things, in the midst of a church in which God is leading us. Friends, listen. Listen. God is calling you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we receive our offerings, and if you've not yet filled out those faith fellowship cards, please do so. We continue by singing the Kyrie, followed by speaking the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities, and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O God, who has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, we praise you, because you have made possible us being your children by the light of your world and by calling us to be your own. We thank you for sending Jesus, for making him known through him, for your loving purpose and plan for each and every one of us. We give you thanks for our redemption through his cross, the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from all evil, and the sure hope of eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord God, give us a sure trust in your power, a strong faith in your love. As we live out our short span of life, equip us, commit us, and show us that love as you make us wise with your wisdom, so that in humility, forgiveness, and love, even to those who hate us, we may always reflect your mercy and grace. Help us that we may conquer all evil with good through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord God, graciously help us to seize every opportunity to build up faith in ourselves and in others. Help us to use fully the gifts that you have given to us. Cleanse us from every sin, heal us of every sickness, and uphold those who face that test of sickness or any other suffering. Guard our loved ones wherever they may be, shielding them from the powers of wickedness. And now, dear Lord, in the midst of special prayers that we offer on behalf of Tara Clausen, who's been diagnosed with cancer, on behalf of Chris and Christina Balvance, who for the second week in a row is a family that has lost everything in a fire, we now lift up before you someone in our own lives that is in need of that kind of help that we name before you in a moment of silence. Lead us and them along the path to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper you have revealed your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, as you give your body and blood to eat and to drink, may we now always remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our service concludes in the middle of page 8. Please stand as we pray together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Friends, as you leave today, we've got copies of the February calendar waiting for you in the back, and of course, we've got ice cream sundae bar waiting across the, just over in the CLC as we prepare ourselves for a meeting that follows here. So, I will be gone then for a week, and we look forward to this. We hope that folks will take an opportunity for the years to come that we have these cruises, if that's something that interests you. So we'll see you back here then in 2 weeks. Friends, go in peace and serve the Lord.